Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the 5 Minute Major Podcast, STL. Today, we have another special guest joining us. He played over 600 games across the OPJHL, QMJHL, OHL, ECHL, and the DEL over in Germany. After playing, he began coaching in the OHL for the Niagara Ice Dogs. He had a year with the Flint Firebirds and then spent 3 years with the Gulls in San Diego as an assistant coach. And now, as of July of this year, he is the official head coach of PWHL's Boston Fleet. Everyone, welcome. And thanks for coming on the show, Mr. Chris Spahr.
Thanks for having me, guys. Excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on and excited to kind of talk some hockey. So tell us about yourself a little bit, like your road into hockey and kind of growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from just outside of Toronto, a town called Mississauga is kind of where I was born. I live in Burlington now. And yeah, when you live outside of Toronto, that's you eat, sleep and breathe hockey. And so that's how we kind of got into it. I had an older brother as well that, he started playing at a very high level. And then I got a chance to, you know, play with him every day on the street or even on the ice and kind of got into it and started climbing the ranks in the Toronto area.
Love that. Yeah, no, the lovely traffic outside Toronto. My girlfriend's in the military, so we actually have a house in Belleville, Ontario. So we're about 2.5 hours away. So, but love that area. It's been fun to be up there recently because we just moved up there in June. So it's been fun. It's been fun. But
yeah, it's a nice area there. They got Prince Edward County and that whole area up there is very nice.
A lot of hockey. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So with your journey in hockey, I know you made the jump and you started in the ECHL. What about that league? And it looks like you grew up playing in the OHL. What about those leagues kind of helped you in your trajectory in hockey that led to getting over to Europe to play?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, before you can sort of get yourself an opportunity to play in a top league in Europe, you got to do something over here first at a substantial level. And so, it actually did start again with my older brother who ended up he was undrafted, played junior A around here, and then ended up going to the QMJHL and playing in Victoriaville. And kind of when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, maybe I could make something of this. You know, I was 3 years younger than him and, you know, started training in the off season and, had an opportunity and got lucky that the Barry Colts, gave me my first stint in the OHL and, sort of just stuck with it. Like I wasn't drafted. I wasn't a guy that, was highly sort of touted growing up. I had a big season, with Barry, my 19-year-old year, which kind of propelled me, moving forward.
Yeah, you had a heck of a year that year. It looks like you almost put up 30 goals and 22 assists, which it's a good start to your professional career in a way, I'd say.
I had some good line mates that year and everything just sort of fell into place. I was on a line with Brian Little. He's a pretty good player.
Oh, nice. But I was just about to ask who
was. Yeah. So, you know, he ended up doing a little bit better than I did at the pro level. But we're still good friends today.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Did you have like any sort of chance to maybe even make it up to the NHL, or was it mostly just you were taking whatever opportunities were coming to you?
Yeah, no, I had, you know, a couple of NHL opportunities like rookie camps and things like that, but nice. It's tough, you know, even being even being on the side of it where I was coaching in the American Hockey League last year and going to, you know, Anaheim's camps for the last 3 years, it's an uphill battle when you're not a top draft pick. And so when you hear these guys that have made it, you know, undrafted, it's you got to have a lot of respect for them because you see it in front of you the year after year, the draft picks that come in and then, you know, there's a whole new school of players that come in the year after and it's, you still got the ones from the year before plus this plus, and it just keeps sort of adding up and it's not easy to do. It's got to have a lot of respect for those guys that make it.
Yeah, I will say that there's no slack of competition over in Europe. Europe has some strong leagues and you were playing in a very competitive league. And looking back on your time over there, like what are some of your memorable moments playing over in Europe? Because you're playing in some powerhouse leagues while you were there. And do you think you've taken from those leagues and brought into your coaching?
Yeah, it's a good question. The DEL where I played, it's, you know, like you said, it's a great league. Most of the players have played in the NHL or in the American Hockey League. And so to go over there and be able to, you know, play with those guys and see how they go about their business. Like I went over there at 21 years old, so I was pretty young, and I was on a line. I looked to my left side. I got a guy that's, you know, played in the NHL a long time, chance to learn from him. So that was kind of nice to be able to, you know, pick their brains because they've been at the highest levels. They've worked with some great coaches. And so to be able to just watch how they go about their business was really good. And, you know, in terms of, you know, bringing things from over there, you know, the style of hockey, specifically in the DL, is very similar to North American hockey. You have 13, you know, between 12 and 15 players on every team that are from North America for the most part. And so the style is, you know, very, very competitive. There's a lot of contact, a lot of physicality. But, you know, there is a style of play where they possess the puck a little bit more over there, I would say. And, you know, that's maybe something that I've taken from over the years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like some of the European players and European style is they bring a better level in a way of stick handling. And we see that in the league from those players of those caliber. It's like, I don't know if it's just a focus for more of them growing up or just what about that kind of helps them. But even on the Blues, we've had the European players that we love their stick handling. It benefits them for a team that needs that.
Yeah, no question. I just think you probably have. You have a little bit more time with the puck on your stick over there just because the ice is so big. And I know there's a big skill emphasis, on puck skills and skating in Europe. And I think you can see that even in the NHL. But now we've caught up for sure with, you know, in North America, there's skills coaches everywhere. And everybody's got skills these days. Everyone's got lots of puck skills. So it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
So when you ultimately retired in 2016, and you jumped like right into coaching. Was that something you had always thought about doing right after playing, or did you kind of weigh your options in other areas?
Yeah, I think it was something that it was sort of in the back of my mind. I was very fortunate. I had a good friend of mine, and still a really good friend of mine today. His name's Billy Burke. He was the head coach of the Niagara Ice Dogs at the time. His family, owned the team as well. And so, you know, I was with him. We were actually in Nashville for my bachelor party. And he was like, hey, would you be interested in being an assistant coach? I was still playing at the time. And so it was a long thought process for me because it was, you know, do I want to be an older player or do I want to be a younger coach and start my coaching career? And so ultimately with a few injuries and things that I had the year before, I decided, you know, to jump into the coaching. And, you know, if I'm being honest with you, my first year, I didn't have a lot of responsibility within like the actual coaching part of the team. You know, I was booking hotels and ordering, you know, spaghetti and meatballs for 17-year-old kids. And, I'm like looking at myself going, okay, maybe this isn't a career that, you know, I want to have. But halfway through that year, you know, credit to the head coach at the time, he gave me a responsibility. He let me take over part of the power play. And then I started to see what coaching was really about and really started enjoying working with the players. And now that I had a little bit of a piece of the pie, and from there, I kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah, I feel like it's just that opportunity you need. And then it sounds like you really took it and ran with it, which is awesome. With your time in the AHL, I know a lot of people talk about it's a very hard and competitive league to coach in just because it's the balance of development and also winning games. What do you think you learned the most while coaching in the AHL?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, there's a lot of learning curves. Specifically the organization that we were in, within Anaheim and San Diego, you know, we were in a full rebuild, right? So development was number one priority, but also, you know, trying to balance the winning part of it. And, you know, it's hard to have one without the other, right? Like we wanted to develop, we wanted to develop, you know, championship players, guys that are, can compete for a championship one day. It's hard when you're, you know, at the bottom of the league. To you want to play in those big moments like playoffs and things like that. We weren't able to do that for a couple of those years. So, but what I learned, I think, the most was, you know, the you do have an opportunity to really make a change in a player if you commit to it and have a thoughtful process. And I thought that our process there, with, you know, how to develop the individual player really started to pay off, and especially year two and three, when you start to see guys, you know, breaking into the NHL and not only just playing there, but, you know, making it, like making a name for themselves and scoring goals and contributing to the team. And so the biggest thing I took away was, you know, having a great plan for development, can drastically change a player's, you know, trajectory within an organization.
Yeah, that's a big part of what we've noticed when we've talked to some other coaches is developing the person on and off the ice, and that kind of translates into better play and being a better teammate. So that's genuinely a great piece of advice for any coach. Mm-hmm. Is your coaching style something that has to transition when joining the PWHL? I know you've been asked this question, and you kind of said there really isn't a difference, but I just kind of want to pick your brain on what you might have seen or noticed between men's and women's games and how you might have changed or not.
Yeah, well, I haven't coached a game yet in the PWHL, so I'm but no, it's a valid question because, you know, we're putting together our development model right now and starting to build it out, you know, going into the season. And for me, it's not going to change at all in terms of the way I go about things and the way I want our staff to go about things. And you know, they're athletes, you know, whether they're, you know, male or female, and, you know, they're the highest levels of hockey, and, you know, our job is to make them better. Simple as that. And, you know, if we can make the individual better, it's going to make our team better, and make them better as people. And so I think that, my process certainly isn't going to change for how I go about that.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for Boston, especially bringing you in and with the expansion of the PWHL and the changing rosters and that, what do you think some aspects you're hoping to focus on with this team and some goals for this year? I know winning's always the end all be all, but as a coach that's really devoted to developing players, what's your goal for this team?
Well, it's interesting. It's an Olympic year, right? So that's number one is, you know, there's sort of that alternative, play that's going on where everybody's going to be excited about that and represent their country. I know that we have quite a few players on our team that are going to be representing theirs, whether it's, you know, the US, Canada, Switzerland, whatever it may be. So that's an exciting part to it. I think for us, you know, I want to get this team having a very, very strong identity, you know, to what we are. And, you know, in a city like Boston, you look at all the professional sports teams, it's a gritty style. You know, it's a style that's like really hard to play against, and the terminology I've used before. And so I want, you know, our team to embrace that, embrace the culture within the city and play, you know, sort of that style of hockey. And, you know, I think that's sort of the goal from a team perspective, but also, you know, there's so much growth that can happen within these players. And so having those like tailored development plans for each individual to make sure that we're collaborating with them to build out a plan that's going to get them better, not from day one, but we can, you know, gradually see it as the season goes. That's sort of my plan. And if we can look back on the end of the year and at the end of the year and say each individual player, made significant strides, which I really believe we can do with these players, I think that's a win.
Yeah,
that's, sorry, Josh, go ahead.
No, you're good, Mikey.
No, I'll let you go.
Yeah, that's, so I know Boston, you guys had the departure of Hillary Knight, so I know you're looking for that leadership core, because I know Hillary's just a professional above professional. So looking at your roster, have you talked with your players? Have you had discussions with your kind of your core group yet?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've gotten through about 90% of the team at this point. There's a couple phone calls I'm waiting to hear back from, but I've had lengthy discussions with every player, and you know, even our older, more veteran players, I've had, you know, great conversations with them. And we're really blessed, honestly, in Boston. I think a lot of coaches talk about having a good culture and things like that, but we got really good people. And I'm really thankful for that, because as a new coach coming in, if that's your foundation, those are your pillars. It's like, now we don't have to coach all that stuff. I don't have to coach culture and being a good teammate and being a consummate professional. It's like, we're already doing those things. So it's our job to uphold those standards, but also, add layers to it. And I think that, so I'm very fortunate to be able to jump into a program that's already moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Josh, do you have anything else?
Yeah, no, I think just kind of picking your brain on just who you are. I know you've talked about the work ethic and mentality. Where did that all kind of come from? Did you take that a lot from your brother growing up and seeing him work hard and you worked hard and that? Or what, like, tell us about yourself kind of growing up, more than just like the service level of like, you played hockey, you're from Canada. Like, I want people to know you as a personal level. And that's been our big thing on the podcast, is introducing people to who you are, really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good question. My family, like, you know, my mom and dad, they, you know, we came from, a family that was hardworking. You know, both parents worked. They, provided for us, and basically gave us every opportunity to succeed. You know, and put us in hockey and at the highest levels. And we were very fortunate to be able to do that. And then, you know, I think the hard work comes from never having never been really given anything. You know, I was never drafted. The German elite league was something that was never something that I thought I'd be able to do and actually, be a professional and make money from the sport. And so I've had to grind my way up. And then now I'm in coaching. And again, I didn't play in the NHL. I didn't play, at the highest level of hockey, which is the NHL. So I don't have, those contacts for me to be able to, just give me this job. I have to work for it. Right. And I got to interview and I got to network and meet different people. And so being able to climb the ladder as a coach, I think, comes a lot from, my childhood and, really having to work and grind through things to get there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think that's the foundation of a lot of hockey players and coaches, that they came from strong households that were really rooted in that work ethic, which I think is why you've made it so far and why you're just taking this next step to be a head coach.
Thanks.
Kind of to wrap us up in that way, going forward, what made you make that jump from the American Hockey League to the PWHL? I know it was a great opportunity as a head coach. Just kind of how did that all come about for you? And were you looking to move into the PWHL, or was it just another opportunity that kind of came about and as a great next step to lead?
Yeah, well, I knew I wanted to be a head coach. That was number one. So when you're going through like a summer as a coach and you're trying to figure out what your next step is, it's, you're looking for the best possible opportunity. And so I was put in touch with the general manager in Boston, and we started going through that process and for the interview. But one of the things that really attracted me to the job in the PWHL was the fact that it's run very much like, an NHL or American League team, where I have a full staff. You know, I have, we have team services people. We have, full strength and conditioning coaches, athletic therapists. You know, I got two assistant coaches. I got two development coaches. So I can run this thing and just coach and develop players, because that's what I want to do. And the other opportunities that sort of came across this summer didn't necessarily give me the opportunity to just coach and do what I do best. You know, there's other things involved with the job, managerial roles, administrative, things like that. And so the thing about the PWHL is it's very professionally run, and it gives you that opportunity to do what you want to do, which is coach. And so that attracted me to the job. And then obviously to work in a city like Boston, unbelievable sports city. And in a league that has tremendous growth right now, like this unquestionable growth, like it's, you know, when you really dive into it and you see, you know, the fan support, and how excited people are about the PWHL, for me, it was a no brainer.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to see when Boston played in St. Louis against Ottawa this last year. And it's a fun game to watch, and it's definitely, the crowd is into it, and the fan base is growing. And I think that's cool because hockey has so much opportunity. And I think this league taking off is going to be huge. I would love a team to get rooted here in St. Louis, just because more hockey is always better for us. We'll never turn down a chance to watch more hockey.
For sure.
So I'm excited, and we can't thank you enough for hopping on with us. But going into the season, we look forward to talking more, and we'd love to have you back on when the season gets going. I know you'll be busy, but just to kind of see how your first year in the league is. And
absolutely. Happy to come on anytime.
I appreciate it. We'll be in touch. And as always, guys, support the PWHL. This is our biggest goal for this season, is to get more people watching hockey. And what better way than supporting a new coach in Boston? So thanks again, Coach, and we'll be in touch.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. All right. Appreciate it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major Podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them, so please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board.
Thanks again to head coach Chris Spahr for hopping on. That was a great interview. He is the nicest dude, and we're excited to see what he can do up in Boston. I think they're going to be really good, even if they kind of lost Hillary Knight, who's one of the better players, but yeah.
He's going to build a good culture for sure up there.
And I think that's what we kind of discussed with Coach Fisher too, is just making sure the players are good people and teammates, and it translates to good hockey. So good for him. He's had a heck of a journey, and he's still super young, so we're excited for him.
Yep.
We wanted to keep talking a little bit about NHL news and catch up, and we'll see if we go on any tangents. So,
like always, we probably will.
Well, we'll start with a couple players or executives that had passed away recently. Ken Dryden, obviously, arguably one of the better goalies to ever play.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he lost his battle to cancer. Praying for his family. We know he had a heck of an impact on the game, so, and just people in general. So, RIP Ken Dryden. And then Bob Goodenow, he was an executive for the NHLPA. He was 72, just another kind of juggernaut of the NHL world, passing away too early. So RIP Mr. Bob Goodenow as well. Prayers to you and your family. Do you have anything to say, Josh?
Yeah, no, that's, just thoughts and prayers to them and their families. But as always, you know, the hockey community is very close knit. So a lot of support will be going their way and towards their families. So,
yeah. All right. Let's get into some other news. Chicago Blackhawks, you traded for your goalie and now you've locked him in for 3 years. Spencer Knight, 3 years, $17.5 million contract. This is a good deal.
Yeah, not a bad deal. There's still some questions on if he can really be your number one guy. I think he is. I think it was your best option. It's better than what you had for the last 4 to 5 years. So, honestly, it's better than what you've had since Corey Crawford, if we're being honest. It's been a struggle for y'all. So, good signing for them. I think it's going to give him some stability. And we saw some stability on the back end when he got there and started playing for them.
Yeah, agreed.
Still a lot of issues to be solved in Chicago.
They're in that long rebuild tour right now, wasting away Bedard years, man, wasting them away. They tried to bring in the vets to kind of back them up the last couple of years. Didn't work, obviously.
No.
They didn't bring any this offseason. Well, they brought in Teravainen. So, I mean, he'll be able to contribute with Bedard a little bit. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Other than that, it's going to be interesting to see when they finally get good again.
Is Bedard going to
not be there anymore? Like,
is Bedard going to be there? We're going to talk about it later. Is Krill going to be coming to join Bedard? I mean, lots of speculation over there. Tinfoil hat moments there.
Yeah. No.
Corey Perry is injured. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks after getting knee surgery after an training incident.
Yeah. Hockey's a weird sport where bad things can happen at any moment. And it's just a fast game, even for a 4-year-old man. But that just stinks. That honestly stinks for them. They brought all these vets in, and I'm like, this is the perfect boring LA Kings hockey team to go out and win some playoff hockey games.
It's so bad, though. It's going to be so slow. That's what it's annoying.
It's methodical, dude. It's just
methodical.
Like,
is that what we're going with? Okay.
It's going to be unreal. But that stinks just for the start of the year, too, for vibes. Like, I don't know. He's going to have to come back in, you know, what, December or whatever, and kind of pick back up. But he'll be okay. I think the Kings will be okay, too. But it does stink. Like, you just signed him for however long, and you don't get to use him right away. So, was it a knee?
For
Perry?
Yeah, it was a knee.
So
might have been something like a Parayko kind of situation where
twisted up,
had to get scoped, and
yeah,
we'll see. But the curse will probably continue with Corey Perry for every team that gets him. Like, you're not going to win the Stanley Cup, so
he might make it, but
yeah.
All right. More injury news. Matt Tkachuk finally got surgery.
Yeah.
Which, 2 years lingering with injuries, he finally got it done. Like,
yeah, which I think he got hurt in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so that
four
that
nations
was,
yeah, and then in four the nations. Playoffs, it's just.
And it looks like could be up to 4 months. His return is expected before the Olympics. Which
is he going to come back and play?
He's going to go play in the Olympics. I'm sorry, like
he should. He's top 5 player in the league.
Yeah.
USA legend.
And here's the thing. Florida, they don't care how they get there. They just have to get in the playoffs so they can three-peat.
Dude, they have the depth.
Oh, my. It's stupid.
It won't matter. They'll be okay.
Hey, you know who they signed? Luke Kunin. Wrote about him being a good value pickup.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with Luke Kunin.
I feel very confident if Florida's picking a player up as a depth piece that I wasn't an idiot there. So I will take I'll take the win. All right, next. Marc-Andre Fleury, Flower himself, signs a PTO in Pittsburgh. Comeback,
baby. This is not a one-day retire contract. This is you're coming to try out, which is insane.
He's retiring.
People are kind of hating on him. They're like, this retirement tour is lasting way too long. Just retire, bro.
He's
like going to try and make the team.
He's not going to make the team. He's going to just retire.
Who are their goaltenders? I mean, you have Shelovs and Jari, and Jari is the most inconsistent goalie in the league. And Shelovs still hasn't truly proven he can play a full season as a starter. So do you just have Andre Fleury and Shelovs kind of split it even and then just trade Jari to Edmonton or something for like a 6-round pick?
Oh, they'd try to get
Dubas is the pick guy. He's
Dubas either will go for picks. I'll be like, you know what? I'll take Skinner. He's a good goalie. He can come here and play.
Dude, the true Skinner would come out if he went to Pittsburgh.
That honestly, it would be one of those guys that, like, it's like a Bobrovsky, where it's like, you know what, Philly, let's trade him off. We'll be fine. And then the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Bobrovsky.
Yeah. Oh, man. We'll see what happens with Flower. I mean, he should just retire. There's no point in trying to make the team, especially when just Pittsburgh's not going to be good. Like,
no,
they're just not going to be good.
I still go back to us winning Ryan Graves, man.
Didn't have a single like shot on net all year.
So
like.
Bad.
Oh man. All right. Next one. Mason, we wanted to talk a little bit about Mason McTavish. Yeah. It's still up in the air if he's re-signing. He's an RFA. They've kind of talked about how they're willing to just let it ride.
Yeah.
And not they don't play care. Him.
You can sit. And I'm like,
that's crazy to us because he is he's what, the second best center on the team. There's like no doubt.
Yeah. I know. Shout out to the dude that wanted to roast us on TikTok. Yeah, you're getting your moment of fame, my guy. Yes, Leo Carlson is their number one center. Okay, I did say Mason McTavish could be their number one center. Honestly,
could be is the word.
He could be. Like, he's still a very good center. Like,
yeah, he's unreal. And he's 23. It's like,
he's not even 23 yet. He's still 22.
He's going to be unreal. If you put him on a team other than Anaheim, he might be like a superstar.
Yeah, he had 52 points last year.
Pretty good.
In 76 games.
So what's the holdup with Verbeek? Is he thinking like, oh, I'm going to have to sign this kid to a long-term deal for all this money? But like, he needs to do that with all of those players. So why not just do it?
Yeah.
I mean, he brought in all these veterans to like build around him, and it seems like they should be decently competitive, especially with Dostal and Net. So like, what's the holdup? He's your second-line center.
It also contributes that this offseason has been epically boring.
It's wild.
It's so bad.
Well, they brought in Granlund for $7 million, which is whatever. He's solid, but
he's a good player, but $7 million is steep, and that shows you it's like a Chandler Stephenson effect where you're overpaying, but I think he's gonna be beneficial.
He'll be okay.
You got Chris Kreider.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just an interesting dynamic of what Verbeek's thinking. I mean, and Chris Barr kind of talked about it like off camera with us that he's just kind of like, yeah, we'll see what Verbeek does. It's going to be interesting. And yep. He kind of feels he doesn't have any like major opinions about it, obviously, but he was like, it's going to be interesting to see what the Ducks do. So,
yeah,
I don't know if he becomes a trade candidate or somehow doesn't want to be there anymore. He will get paid.
Yeah.
Hey, like, because you can get him for 8 years and then he'll only be 30 still. And in 8 years from down the road, if he's getting paid $8 million and he's putting up 70 points, that's going to be a steal of a contract.
Yeah.
Just like the Thomas and Kyrou deals are steals.
Well, and that's my thing that, like, okay, go to him, like, do a bridge deal, give him a two by five.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give him the old Bo Byram. Two by something.
Yeah. So $5 million a year. 2 years. So it's 2 by 10.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be
$5 million still a middling, but I don't know if he's wanting a crazy amount of money. I don't know.
He's only 22 years old. What more can he want than just keep playing in the NHL?
Like, that's my thing. Like,
yeah.
You've had good seasons, I guess. Like, he's good on the dot. So
yeah, really good. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. He's a beast. Really underrated player. All right, let's get into some goalie talk. So the Flyers traded away Fedotov to Columbus for like a 6th-round pick. The goaltending situation in Philly has been really, really bad for a while. They brought in Vladar this offseason. We were like, okay, it's a little better. You know, Fedotov and Vladar might be a decent duo. And then they got rid of Fedotov. So, like, and now Columbus has 3 goalies that are trying to, like, be the number one at the same time. So, what's their decision, too?
Yeah, you got Fedotov, Greaves,
and Elvis Merzlikins. So, I think it's Elvis's net right now, but he's got 2 goalies breathing down his neck now. So, it's going to be really interesting to see. As for Philly, dude, Vladar is your guy now, and you don't really have a backup. I don't even know. Do you have any opinions?
I was reading. All the fans are kind of freaking out. It gives you Bobrovsky vibes. Like, you just trade
Fedotov's gonna a Russian goalie got traded away and he's going to end up being amazing.
So I think there's a lot of questions. This Philadelphia roster construction is just so intriguing, and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, Briere's trying at least, but this is an interesting play.
I just didn't see it coming, honestly, and you didn't really get much in return for him, but like, I don't usually bet against a goalie that's 6'7". It's usually a pretty good...
Well, you had mentioned that maybe it has something to do with his overseas situation, and Philly's kind of over-dealing with it, or like he just wanted to get away out of Philly for some reason. You know, we don't know, but...
Yeah, it's one of those things. There was a lot of questions because I know he was playing in the KHL. I know there was issues with him like getting released and coming back. And so I think that'll be the big thing. And he had good numbers in the KHL. Like, it's not like he was playing bad. So interested to see how this is going to play out. Interested to see if this means that some other goalies are going to be on the move from Columbus.
Yeah.
That being said, Edmonton, there's goalies out there. You could have got another goalie for a sixth round pick. Like,
do they even have any picks?
No. But like, it's baffling when you look at Edmonton and this debate that like, you just need a goalie. You just need above average goalie. And Skinner's
above. I feel like he's above average, but I don't think he makes the timely saves. There's a difference. Like, Bennington, I'd say, is above average. You know, he's not like top five goalie in the league, but when it comes to the time to be, he will be.
I was going to say, that's
Skinner, unfortunately, cannot be.
You just need someone that in the moments will have another level. And that's.
Yeah. And we've talked about it how much all the time.
Which NHL Network finally gave a shout out. Thank you, Corey Schneider, for finally joining NHL Network and talking about goalies that deserve the shout out. And he talked about Jordan Bennington. And that he deserves more praise.
Shout out Cam Strick. I believe they got him on. Schneider. Yeah. So that'll be a cool one to listen to if you guys haven't.
Cam and Strick are putting out some good episodes. They've had some real good following. You know, we're trying to get there, guys. We're working our way there. We're getting a lot more coaches. It's a lot of good stuff coming your
way. Kind of piggybacking Philly. Carter Hart is eligible to play. All of those players are. I think one of them might have already went overseas.
Yeah, I think Sanger in Switzerland.
So I mean, good for them to get another chance. It's a tough situation. We're not going to get into it at all because it's touchy or whatever. But now that they have another chance, and especially Carter Hart's the big name and Edmonton's the team, like, what's going to happen? Where's he going to go? You, Josh, said that Philly's not an option for him.
I don't think he's going back to Philly. I think it'll be a fresh start.
Which makes a lot of sense.
And like we said, we're not getting into that whole
situation. It's just not a good city to be in with any sort of thing like that.
And I don't think he plays for a team in Canada like we talked about. I don't know how he can play for a team in Canada, really.
After the situation as well,
The rumors are that he would like to play in a U.S.-based team that is a contender.
And that's tough because a lot of the teams in the U.S. that are contenders don't need a goalie. I mean, like, you could argue, like, Colorado, I guess, but they have the Wood brothers, and they're all right. They're solid enough. And, like,
I mean,
Nashville doesn't need one. We don't need one. Like, I don't know. Minnesota, no, they have Gustafson.
Gustafson, they.
It's tough to think about. I don't know.
Maybe something along the lines of Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas is intriguing because Schmid as the backup is not great, in my opinion. But is Carter Hart ready? That's just another.
Well, that's the other thing. He hasn't played. Hasn't played. These guys haven't played
two or three years, right?
3 years. So, and like, I'm not saying Carter Hart was some world beater either when he played. Like, he was.
Yeah, he wasn't like. God himself goalie. Or anything.
He like was a .906 save percentage, I think. So a lot of question marks there. A lot of question marks what's really going to happen with these players. But we'll see. I think it'll be an interesting landing spot for Carter Hart. And I think he's not going to be ready to fully go right out of the gate either. No. That's the other thing.
No.
But segueing into another goalie that we are the number one anti-spokesperson for because he's not that great. Georgiev signs with Buffalo. And if there's never a better match made in heaven, a subpar team with a subpar goalie.
Dude. Well, they were saying that Ukko-Pekka Lekkonen might be like not ready to play.
Yeah, I think there's some injury concerns, but good lord, really?
I have nothing good to say about him.
There's nothing to say because he has not played well.
He's awful.
The track record is not there. Every team has been like, yeah, this ain't gonna work.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason it worked in Colorado, and we all know why. It's because the team was stacked.
Yeah. If you build a brick wall in front of them. They could outscore
any team.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It didn't matter who's giving up 4 goals a game when your team was putting up 6 to 7 goals a game. So
I will give him a little bit of flowers. He was all right as a backup in New York. Pretty all right. And then his first year in Colorado, he played pretty well. I still give a lot of the credit to the defense and the offense of Colorado. But the year after that, he had 38 wins and he had an 8.97 and a 3.02. I mean, like,
that's insane.
Any other team, you're barely even.
No, probably have 10 wins, 10 to 15 wins.
It's just crazy. Yeah. After those two seasons, he fell off hard and it is a shame. You know, it's not like I hate the guy. The fact that he's in Buffalo is so funny. Like they have pieces that they can build around, but they will not and refuse to take the next step or the risk to try and be competitive. They just won't do it.
And it's crazy when you have Tage Thompson and Tuck and Rasmus Dahlin and
Zucker, Byram. And now you have Doan and Kesselring. It's like, hello?
Yeah. Like, like there has to be a level in which you either you stay here or you go, or if you don't, you just...
They're just the perfect feeder team for Stanley Cup champion teams. They really are. They've been doing it for like 10 years now. The O'Reillys, the Evan Rodriguez's, the sort of the Reinhardts. Yeah. Just crazy to think about. Good luck to Georgiev in Buffalo. I want Buffalo to be good so bad. It's just funny that they're not.
Yeah,
and especially funny that this is the guy now if UPL can't play.
Well, I mean, I think he's still their backup there, Georgiev.
I mean, he might be AHL backup. Because Levi, they've been trying to get Levi up and to play. But he's kind of stuck playing in the AHL.
Yeah, I think Levi's your starter. You have Georgiev, Levi, and Ukko-Pekka Lekkonen.
Yeah, I think you got to give Levi the nod. And if it's bad, then Georgiev can back up.
They have Alex Lyon, too.
Yeah, who's like, a serviceable backup.
Serviceable backup.
Like if anything, I'd rather have him back up Levi or start. It's just another one of those situations. It's a depth signing.
That's all it's going to come down to.
I know. We should stop hating on him. He's getting paid a lot more than I am, and he's getting to do what he loves, which is play hockey. So good for you. And he's from Belarus, and there's not many of those guys in the league. So good for you.
All right. Okay. Moving on to the next two topics here.
These are the biggest ones. Kirill Kaprizov got offered God money, basically.
$128 million.
To stay in Minnesota. And he supposedly rejected it. And now, supposedly, Guerin asked for his trade list. This is just crazy to me. On both sides. If you're Kaprizov and you're not taking that amount of money, you obviously want to go somewhere else and win with other players. It's just like, I feel like that's the only reason, seriously.
Yeah, I think he wants a bigger market.
That makes sense. I mean, he doesn't really play with any Russians either. I mean, he has Vladdy now technically, but like maybe he doesn't want to play with Vladdy. Maybe he wants to play with Panarin. So it's going to be really interesting to see. On Guerin's end,
You can't mess this up.
I wouldn't even waste my time on anything. You lay the cards on the table again, and if he doesn't take it again, then it's you're out. So
my thing is, if do you let him walk and risk that?
You cannot let him walk for free.
So then are you calling teams right now and be like,
probably,
what, let's make a deal.
Who are the teams who can truly afford almost $20 million a year?
Seattle.
Can they?
No.
It's like San Jose. It's Chicago. That's it. Like, that's a lot of money for one player.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine Celebrini playing with Krill the Thrill?
Yeah, they'd be awesome together, man.
I don't know. I think he wants to go to Chicago, New York.
That's it?
Yeah. I don't know. Vegas, because every player wants to go to Vegas. Dallas can't afford anyone else right now. They are trying to get rid of Robertson. So
if Vegas
send
can
Stone,
move a Stone,
Carlson, Barbashev,
if they can move one or two pretty big contracts, they can just go get them.
What? Okay, so here's the thing, Minnesota. Then do you send him to Vegas for Barbashev and something else?
I don't think Barbashev's allowed to leave if Kirill's coming.
I think they'll want a center. They need center help, I think.
True, I agree.
They can play center and wing.
I agree.
But then the other thing we have to take into account, Vegas still has to re-sign Eichel.
Yeah, so I think they might be out. Because Eichel's 13 million a year probably now. He's got to be.
He's the only top five
player, I think.
So you have Marner and Eichel and a pretty expensive defense. So like if you move Stone and Barbie,
is that enough to keep Eichel and get a Kaprizov? Probably not.
Well, you have
unless
the money from
he takes it, unless Kaprizov takes a deal because he's wanting to win hockey games.
So that's the trade-off. Like we saw Rantanen, who was offered 14 or 15 million, take 12 in Dallas.
Right.
So maybe it's not about the money. Maybe it's just about he doesn't want to be in Minnesota anymore.
No state tax. Playing in Vegas with a bunch of other beauties. Win hockey games.
The other
it makes sense.
If you're Minnesota, you're going backwards if you lose him.
Is that the risk you're willing to take to bring in two players that are serviceable and get rid of a superstar? The only superstar you've had in years, are you willing to do that? I mean, without him, they are not. I think they're maybe a playoff team.
Okay, then because
when he's out, like it's really on Boldy, Rossi, Faber's shoulders, and that's hard. It's tough.
Okay, then let's say the Rangers. Okay.
Okay, which is really, they got to make a deal happen because they probably don't have that much money either.
So Panarin would have to be involved in the deal.
Panarin or
JT Miller.
Yeah, but is New York ready to win? That's another part. It's like,
Honestly, who's involved in this deal? They probably are shipping out Zibanejad and Vincent Trocheck.
Yeah, I think Zibanejad is easily the one leaving.
So Zibanejad is probably in that deal, but I don't know what his trade cap protection
is. Yeah, he might have a full no trade. It's going to be really, really tough for a team to get him. It's going to be an astronomical deal if they do trade him. It's going to be an astronomical deal if they keep him.
Pittsburgh. What about Pittsburgh?
I think I talked about that with my buddies. I said, send him to Pittsburgh and let him play with Crosby for a year. And them together could make them hard to beat.
I'm like, what about Pittsburgh?
I don't think he wants to be in Pittsburgh, but I mean, they would be a lot more fun to watch, man.
I mean, that makes you more competitive.
Oh yeah, instantly.
Oh my gosh, you're probably looking at this losing roster in Pittsburgh.
I mean, Dubas would probably not do the deal because he'd be losing a lot of picks. You'd and he's to, the
what,
pick king.
What do you think it is for first rounds?
For Kaprizov. I think it's an NHL ready.
So Ricard Raquel.
Raquel's a solid player, dude.
He is, but
you could do like a Raquel, or maybe Crosby's gone.
No.
You also have
Crosby to Minnesota. People would be like, "What the?"
Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, I don't know. I think he should stay. I really do think he should stay.
To get rid of Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, true.
You could send Erik Karlsson over to Minnesota.
I think the Wild have to keep him because they won't be good without him.
That's the thing. Like us sitting here, like there's no deal that really has the value or makes sense.
The bad thing about this is that he's never healthy, brother.
That's
and
true.
The risk you have to take is that he will be playing at least 70 games because he hasn't in a while. So maybe in reality, he might not even be worth $12 million because he's hurt half the year. But, I mean, obviously the player and the agent aren't going to be working that into any deal. Like,
yeah.
It's like, no, when he plays, he's the best Russian player in the league, and it's not even close. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's a really tough avenue to navigate. That's why we're not the GMs, and we're just spitballing. I'm sure Garen has called people already, bro.
Yeah,
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
He has to have. Look how he treated Rossi, like you said.
Yeah.
And that's just Rossi.
So there's a lot of question marks on what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
And I think we can kind of segue into the next guy who's a franchise player.
Of the guys, you know.
Cornerstone of the team. The
best player in the world.
He might be 1B.
Yeah, okay.
Nathan MacKinnon is
he's not that. Better than Nathan MacKinnon is 1B, maybe.
All right. So if you haven't guessed who we're talking about yet, Connor McDavid, still no contract signed. He has 1 year left on this deal. Edmonton, I don't know. I don't know how you can lose your franchise player, the best player in Canada. Like, does he want to stay in Canada? Does he want to move to the U.S.? Like, so many woulda, shoulda, couldas. Also, how much money do you have to pay him? You have to pay him at least what you're paying Draisaitl or more.
Yeah. I mean, though? Like, but then, it just depends on what McDavid wants to do, right?
That's true. Also, are we moving, seeing in the league now where players want shorter term deals?
Right. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor.
He's only going to take two or three or four years. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And then see what happens again. Like, their window's closing now. You've made it twice, you've lost twice. Your team didn't really get any better. You had the same goalies. What are you going to do? Yeah, I mean, McDavid's going to play unreal. I guarantee you he's going to have his best year ever this year. And he's going to do everything he can to get back to the finals.
And if they make it.
Forgot about the Olympics. And that's another thing too, Josh. So if Canada wins the gold, does that affect his decision making? Does that make him feel accomplished? And then he's kind of like, okay, I'm okay with staying in Edmonton.
Then all he needs after that is he has a gold medal. He has the
formation. All he needs is a Stanley Cup.
He needs a Stanley Cup. And I don't know if he won the gold in the World Juniors.
It's going to be, oh man, McDavid, man. I love you to death. I really hope you make the right decision for yourself and your family, which I know you will. Don't worry about what people are going to say about you if you don't stay. Just go where you want to go and win. Because, I mean, it's crazy to think about how they didn't they couldn't beat Florida.
Yeah.
They were right there twice. With the best, two best players in the world, probably.
Yeah, if he wins a gold medal in the Olympics, all he has left. So he won a gold in the World Junior Championships in 15, won a gold with the U18, won the 2016 World Cup of Hockey on under 23 Team North America.
Yeah.
2025 Four Nations Faceoff, won that. If he wins a gold medal with the Olympics,
then he just needs a cup. So
he just needs a cup.
If McDavid moves on, where can he go? Why would he go there? Other than to win, obviously.
I don't know who could afford him.
It's the same situation as Kaprizov, right?
Yeah.
He's got to sit down with the Edmonton management and say, okay, this is what I want. If we aren't going to win now, you have to trade me to one of these five teams.
Honestly, you know where he goes? He goes to Minnesota, because that means Krill's probably gone too then, and they'll pay him $120 million, which would be $16 million a year. If they're willing to pay Krill...
But they're not going to win a cup. I mean, I just don't see Minnesota beating Florida. Still.
Yeah. Boston would have the money. Boston would have the money to bring in Krill or...
Yeah. Connor
McDavid.
Pasta. And one of those guys would be a difference maker. And yeah. Swayman is on his revenge tour this year.
Yeah, and you still have Charlie McAvoy.
You
have Morgan Geeky.
Boston, it can be a decent team. We talked about it.
Yeah.
It's just, what can they give? Edmonton's going to ask the world. Edmonton needs picks. They need first round and second round picks, bad. Like, is it Chicago? Is it, like, who can just dump, like, four first rounders and a player? Those are the teams. Or is it going to be something wild, like a one for one? Can you imagine if McDavid was traded to, like, I don't know, freaking Chicago for Bedard, which makes no sense, or, like, Vegas for Marner, like Vegas for Eichel, or well, like,
so that'd be the other thing. Do you want to go with Eichel, or would you rather do McDavid and Marner?
So you're saying Edmonton, oh, hey, Vegas, give us Eichel, we'll give you McDavid,
or Eichel and something else, Eichel and Stone, which is crazy.
Yeah, this is bonkers to think about.
It's like NHL, EA, NHL.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but that's how your mind works. You know, mm-hmm. You're like, what two amazing players could be traded for the best player?
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't know. It's going to be – Edmonton fans are going to be up in arms when he leaves. I don't think there's an if. I think when he leaves, they're going to be really mad.
That's the crazy part, and I think he'll feel guilty about it too. That's the other thing. He's not like a spiteful player, in my opinion. He's very like – humble hockey player that just wants to win.
He's angry now, though. After losing again, he's mad.
Yeah.
Like, his quotes have been, like, straightforward, man. He's like, oh, yeah, I've only broken 50 goals one time in my career. I'm going to do that, basically, this year. And have 100 assists. So.
There's a lot of question marks, and I am interested to see what would happen.
Yeah, I'm so ready for the fireworks, and I'm ready for hockey season, because next week is the first preseason game for the Blues, and I'm just like, let's go, man. I want these teams to play each other so bad.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see if, you know, maybe you know what happens. Maybe Skinner has a revelation, and he turns into a real, like, an above average goalie, and okay. He finally makes some timely saves.
That's true.
Like, maybe McDavid does all the work to get him there, and then Skinner finally steps up to the plate and makes a couple huge saves, and they somehow beat Florida.
So, yeah. Are we saying it's going to be another Florida-Edmonton?
No, I don't think Edmonton's going to make it, personally. But if it was to happen, it's going to go seven games.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they hate each other now. And I'm telling you, dude, McDavid's not going to lose again. Like,
oh,
if
no.
He does, it's going to be heartbreaker fashion, double OT game seven. on a fluke goal, like on a weird Patty Kane who just shoves it on the net and it goes in and no one else knows it goes in. So it's, oh man, I feel bad for Oilers fans a little bit because they've just been demolished the last few years with like deals and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not your guys' fault. It really isn't. I mean, you guys are some of the most faithful fans in the league. You guys are insane. You guys are literally crazy and insane, just like Maple Leafs fans. And you guys deserve to see another cup. It's been too long. Toronto deserves it too, but they aren't going to do it. So,
I'm interested to see how it's going to play out. But I think it'll be an interesting year into off season to next year because there's a lot of big names that there's a lot of decisions that have to happen.
The off season is going to be crazy. I hope it's crazy, man. This year stunk. I hope next year's just bonkers.
Yeah, that's looking at the free agents going in next year. It's going to be bonkers.
Yeah.
So, all right, y'all. As always, we end everything with a
Let's go Blues. We'll see you guys next time. We'll be doing hopefully a couple more interviews, and then we'll break down our central with, I believe Mike Myers is going to come on and break it down with us. So
yeah, I think we'll record that next week with Mike, and then hopefully get some interviews rescheduled with some NHL alumni.
Yep.
And then we are hoping to have our first PWHL player who just was drafted, St. Louis native. So looking forward to that. But as always, like, share, support. We love you guys. And then let's go Lindenwood Hockey and let's go Boston Fleet. So, all right, y'all. We'll talk to you later.